Hello and welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I am your host and Broadway Baby, again at the same time, Alex Fasella, here without my lovely Broadway parents, Kimberly Cooper Schmidt and Jay Schmidt. But I am joined by a guest I'm very excited about. She's a comedian, she's a Broadway fan, Rebecca Kaplan. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I asked this unnaturally as if we didn't already have this conversation, but that's how podcasts.
Yeah.
This is how people talk, yes?
I think so. I think you're doing a good human impression.
Good, because I'm actually about 7 squirrels in a human suit, so good to know my chops are up. So we are now out of quarantine. I haven't done one of these interviews in a while. Hopefully we don't go back. What musicals got you through quarantine?
I just listened to a lot of my faves. I ended up listening to Hamilton a lot just because everyone was talking about it, so it kept getting stuck in my head. And like Rent's a good one.
Okay.
And I don't know, I like a lot of like older musicals, like from the 60s, like Superman.
You've heard the Superman musical?
Oh, I love the Superman musical.
Okay, I've never met anyone who actually likes it. I'm not saying that in a judgy way. I know people who know it and they're like, oh, that thing. But you're like, oh yeah, it's like one of the best.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's like the best musical ever. Yeah. Obviously it's not. But, you know, I think it's like very, it has like a very fun, like campy, like spirit to it.
Yeah, when I listened to it, I was taken by the fact that if you didn't tell me it was about Superman and it wasn't one of the songs where Superman is basically, you know, going through his Superman powers to explain to the audience, it sounds like outtakes from Bye Bye Birdie because it was written by the Bye Bye Birdie people.
Yeah, before Bye Bye Birdie, though, I think. Yeah. No, wait, right after.
Oh, maybe.
My bad. Yeah, it was 1963. Bye Bye Birdie was 61, I think.
Okay. I wonder if they also did Bring Back Birdie, its very ill-fated sequel.
They did do that in the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Lee Adams and Charles Stross a lot. Although they did have a good number of very bad musicals. Charles Stross also did a musical about flowers for Algernon.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
We all read that in eighth grade and felt some feelings that made us reassess some things. He did a whole musical about it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, Charles Stross also had Annie, which is probably, like, one of the biggest hits, like, ever.
Yeah.
Not Lee Adams, though. Poor Lee Adams.
Okay. What made you gravitate toward the Superman musical? Was it just that you liked that songwriting team, or?
I don't know. I think there are some, like, really good songs in it. I mean, I saw a staging of it. At like encores when I think I was in high school, and yeah, I don't know, I just really like how like weird it is that it's like a full like actual like showman type musical, but like about like the stupidest subject matter.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of speaking to a couple people who are Broadway fans and also big comic book nerds like me, and so like the feelings in there that they're trying to communicate to me are very, very complicated and intense. They're like, some of these songs are okay, but it's a terrible Superman show because it's not very Superman, but it's not a bad show, but Superman is quippy. It's like Iron Man, but it's like, there's so many strange feelings that when you like those two things and that show brings out of people.
Yeah, I think it's probably like a pretty bad musical if you're like going into it thinking it's going to be a good Superman musical.
Yes, that is a fact, which makes me wonder, when do we get like when are we getting like MCU the musical?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably working on it. I know they're working on an Archie musical. That's been in the works for like a while.
Oh, well, fun side note just about Archie musicals. So when I was a kid, I used to take drum lessons at this music shop in town. And I don't know how the guy got this started, but he had linked up with, supposedly from what I heard, one of the dudes that had engineered the Backstreet Boys, like a boy band, like hit maker kind of guy. And his idea was he wanted to do live action Archies, and I played drums, and he put together a little band, and we actually recorded a version of Sugar Sugar, and then it went nowhere. But like, it's just a weird thing I get to remember about myself from time to time.
Which member did you play?
So Jughead? When I was informed of this project, I dug around in the lore, and I realized that Jughead was not only the drummer, he was the funny one. And when I was about in seventh grade is when I started to become obsessed with being funny because I needed the attention. And so I was told I was Reggie, and I was like, no, Reggie is the bully. He is the bass player. Jughead is the drummer. And I finally got my way because ultimately no one cared as much as I did. But I was like, no, you're going to get the lore right. And Riverdale had not come out yet because this was, you know, the early aughts. I was Jughead, and I was very adamant that I be Jughead. And I wonder how much of the fact that we were chosen was that my friend Alex had just looked like Archie. He was a ginger and he played guitar. And I wonder if the guy just went, I could make one of those. I've got the Archie kid. And we never heard hide nor hair of anything that came out of it. But that's a part of my life.
Oh, wow. So there's a video of you somewhere playing the jug with like a beanie on your head.
We didn't do any video, but we did record this. I wonder if I searched for it, if I could find the single. But no, I definitely would have gone full beanie and put a hamburger in the background as an Easter egg, because that's his jam. I wish there was tape. There's no tape. Or maybe I don't. Maybe that would be more humiliating. But I do wish I had the song.
That's great. I actually really liked the Archies when I was like in middle school, even though like in retrospect, most of their songs are quite terrible.
Yeah, they're not great. They're not a great band, but they were a fun band, the Archies. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You said there's going to be a whole Archie.
They had musical? A lot. Yeah, I think Diablo Cody is involved in it.
I'm even more interested now. I don't have a lot of opinions about her, but that's an interesting choice for the Archie musical.
Yeah, I'm like very intrigued. I didn't read. I think it's like going to be some kind of comedy thing. But yeah, I definitely want to see that, even though I'll be prepared to be very disappointed.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be a comedy, because if you're like, we're doing Archie, the hip hop tragedy, and you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I think it would be funny if they did it like a musical based on like the Riverdale TV show, though.
Yeah.
But that would be more terrible, probably.
Yeah, I'm guessing the music would sound like The Cure. It would be like kind of gothy.
Yeah. And just like ridiculous, like Twin Peaks energy, but a musical. I could get behind that.
I could also get behind Twin Peaks, the musical.
I mean, do you think there are any properties that like just absolutely shouldn't be a musical? Like, should there never be a, a Sophie's Choice, the musical?
I'm pretty sure there shouldn't, although now that image is going to live rent free in my head for a while. The thing that I've, because this was a thought I had recently. I've just read this sci-fi book by a journalist that I like named Robert Evans. It's called After the Revolution, and it's a sci-fi book set in 2070 after the U.S. has been like balkanized into different little sub-countries because of civil war broke out, but more like a Syrian-style civil war, not like our first civil war with two even sides. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this could be musicalized, because different characters have different levels of like tech in their body. Like some people have none. Some people have this thing called a deck that's like an iPhone in your brain. And then some people have so much like military grade weaponry in them, they are essentially gods. And I thought, oh, well, each song, depending on who you're following, could be different levels of like electronica. If it's somebody really chromed, it could be all computer sounds. And if it's somebody who's not, it could even be like acoustic guitar. And in between, it could be electric guitar. And then I realized this is a story that follows three different characters. It alternates their point of view with each chapter. Like the first chapter is Manny, then it's Roland, then it's Sasha, Manny, Roland, Sasha. I would need to streamline it without making it bad. And then I had to say, but also they sing their feelings. So I don't think that would be a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds kind of, I feel like musicals can't be that complicated in plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if they are, it's gotta be simple. It's always interesting to me when you adapt a musical, like a movie to a musical. Like, what do you have to lose to make it function as just a different medium? Because there are some shows that would work that's just like, oh, it's this movie, but some of the moments are crunched into one song, some of them are expanded with a song. Like, but some things it's like, you can't, like, I don't think you could ever make Pulp Fiction the musical. Because its arc is literally out of order, which would feel bad on stage.
Right. Yeah, I mean, have you seen any, the only two like time skipping around musicals I can think of are Allegro and Merrily We Roll Along, which are both like very terrible, like the books are very terrible.
Yeah, I've never seen either of them. I listened to Merrily, the album, and I watched the documentary about how badly it went wrong. Kimberly Cooper, my lovely co-host, loves it, and I don't think it's that good a show. But and then she also made a point to tell me that Merrily was Sondheim being like, this is my Allegro. It's out of order time-wise, and also I will never stop updating it the way I believe Richard Rodgers never stopped updating Allegro.
Yeah. I think he like said it was his attempt to fix Act Two of Allegro.
Yeah, that's a fool's errand, but a noble attempt, I suppose.
I don't love the original cast album that much. I prefer the York revival like version of it. But like the songs are way better than the musical as a whole.
Yeah. Are we talking about Allegro or Merrily? I just kept saying yes because I wanted to look smart, but I didn't know which one you were talking about.
Merrily. I think Allegro is like pretty bad all around. It has some nice songs in it. Like the song The Gentleman is a Dope is from that. But yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about your history with theater.
I just like musicals a lot. I grew up, my dad's like a big musical fan, so he took us to see a lot of them. And he like got a subscription to Encores, so I'm like got introduced to a lot of like incredibly obscure musicals that way.
Okay. What was like one of the first ones he took you to that had like an impact on you?
I don't know, I guess I liked Man of La Mancha. That's a good I think like all of like the angsty, moody songs in that are like, you know, just hit at the right time.
Yeah, found Man of La Mancha right around, I discovered musicals big time right around the Trump election. And that was one of the first ones I went to. No, I didn't see it, but I mean, just the album. And like, yeah, I really needed that show at that time because it's all about like you have to try to make things better even when nothing makes sense anymore. Like, just lean into it. It won't work, but you have to try. And I was like, I hope so, because I don't know what's going to happen for the next 4 years. And then we found out.
Yeah, I think it has like a really nice like heart to it. But like at the center of it is like a crazy, like delusional man. And yeah. I don't know, it's like a fun, I feel like Man of La Mancha is like the ethos that like is like very musical theater to me. Like it's, everything's all made up and like whatever, but like whatever, like, you know, let's all just be happy anyway, because that's like better than the alternative.
Because it's like the criticism that's always leveled at musicals is like, no one sings their feelings. They're trying. Everything is too happy and shiny. It's like, first of all, not most things aren't happy and shiny in a musical. If you listen to them, they get really dark. And second of all, like, yeah, it's not silly once you go with it. Like, and a lot of forms of theater that people quote unquote respect, like, do stuff like that. Like Shakespeare will do, you know, asides to the, will break the fourth wall and stuff. But just people don't remember that part and they go, oh, this is dumb. It's like, yes, it is dumb, but also it's really fun and moving, so who cares?
Yeah, if you just like, you know, take the benefit of the doubt that like whatever,
yeah,
ignore this ignore that, like, people don't really sing and just go with it. I think most forms of entertainment are kind of stupid.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that everything is as dumb as musicals, just musicals for some reason get all the flack for it. I don't understand.
Yeah, like, what's, name one big grossing comedy movie that's, like, not kind of stupid.
Yeah. I don't know why the one I wanted to mention was Clerks 2. I don't even know if that was a hit. It's just a movie that I enjoy personally, but
it's a cult classic.
Yeah. So your dad was always playing cast albums around the house, I assume. Do you remember any of them, like, making an impact?
Yeah. I mean, I really like She Loves Me. That's, like, a great, have you heard that one?
Yeah, we covered the version of it that was on Broadway HD with, I can't remember his name, but he was Shazam, Zach somebody.
Zachary Levi.
Yes, Zach Levi. And he was great. He was really, really good. And yeah, we liked that show. We didn't love it because it's a little bit, it's a little in one ear and out the other, but, like, it's a pleasant ride from ear to ear. So, and it's by the guys that did Fiddler on the Roof, which I was not expecting.
Yeah. Have you heard any of their other musicals?
Maybe. What other stuff did they do?
They did a musical about the Rothschild family.
Oh, yeah, I keep hearing about that one. I haven't watched it, but how is that?
It's good. I mean, it's not like as strong as Fiddler, but it has some, like, really nice songs in it. And then they did another musical that I really like, although it's, like, more uneven, called The Apple Tree, which was, it was basically, like, a concept musical. Like, what if instead of having a one 3-act musical, we take 3 different short stories and make 1 act about each one?
Okay. Yeah, I think I have heard of that. I never saw it, but the turning everything into an act and stuff like that can be really hit and miss, but I would give it a shot. So when you were a kid, did you do plays? Were you, like, a theater kid, or was it just kind of around you and you absorbed it through your dad's osmosis? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I can't sing myself, and I'm also pretty shy, so I didn't, like, do musical theater, but yeah, I just like going to the theater and, you know, watching stuff.
Okay. Do you remember what the last thing you saw before the world shut down was?
Yeah, I was covering a Titus Burgess show for Broadway World. That was really good. It was like he was doing a thing, a tribute to Sondheim for his, like, 80th birthday.
Okay.
I was doing cabaret reviews, and, like, yeah, so I got to see some cool stuff. And the yeah, Titus's show was really good. He, like, I mean, yeah, he picked some, like, I guess, like, lesser chosen Sondheim songs. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, like, it's fun going to, like, a nice cabaret show, because, like, you get to see, like, songs you're familiar with sung in, like, a different context or different arrangements or whatever.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the songs he did, or you just remember them being deep cuts?
Yeah, I mean, he did like Tonight. That's obvious. That's not a deep cut. I'm trying to think. I think he, like, did something from, like, the Dick Tracy musical.
Huh. That's another show I always forget exists, but it certainly does.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I could pull up my review right now, but that's not.
Yeah, I didn't even know you had that gig, so I'm impressed.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think. I mean, yeah, he did some, like, fun. I think he, like, did something from Merrily. And, like, yeah, some other. What was your last show?
The last show I saw before the world shut down was a Bob Dylan jukebox show called Girl from the North Country. And I was its target audience. I'm a huge Dylan fan. And it also, like Titus Burgess, it did some deep cuts. Some songs that I literally had never even heard before because Dylan's catalog is so big. And it was interesting. It was confusing because the script was there. It was preview, so they were still working on it. So, like, no one ever made it super clear who the girl from the North Country was, because it was about an innkeeper whose wife was going was mentally ill and was like basically had some kind of young dementia, and he was trying to take care of her, and then he was having an affair and he got the woman pregnant, but like because the wife was so mentally ill, it was taken that like, well, it doesn't matter because she's not there anymore, and it was kind of left ambiguous whether or not she understood what was going on and stuff like that. And then he had an adopted daughter who I think was also pregnant, or somebody was pregnant, I don't remember. And she falls in love with a boxer, but also like the neighbor boy is in love with her, so that was kind of a thing. And then there's these two. It was a lot of show, and then some Dylan songs happened, and it was weird that, and I, this is a thing I don't love what shows do. One of the things I love about musicals is that the scene leads into the song, so that the song is not its own thing aside from the scene. It's at least this scene is boiled over until we have to sing now. You know, this show was like, it was just doing a scene until the song happened. And then they weren't adjusting the lyrics or anything. They were just doing Dylan songs. The problem is Dylan songs are often either very specifically about a subject like Hurricane or something, or they're just kind of nonsense poetry in a fun way. So basically this play was a scene would happen, then characters for 5 minutes would sing a Bob Dylan song that you had to really kind of squint at to feel was necessary, and then back into a scene. And then, so like, I don't think it was a great show, but that cast album was going to be fire because they nailed all the songs. But like the act break was like a Rolling Stone, and the lights came up and everyone was just kind of like, oh, okay. Like it didn't really go into a big crescendo as much as it was like, oh, it's intermission, huh? Cool.
Yeah, I hate like jukebox musicals that like don't make that much effort to like blend the songs into the book in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. Did you see Head Over Heels?
No, what was that? What jukebox thing was that?
That was a Go-Go's jukebox musical set to kind of a Greek myth, but more like it was a myth that already existed, I think, in Greece, and then they added basically every other kind of mythology to it. And it was the sort of like the joke was that it was really forced jukebox stuff, like they're trying to maintain what they called the beat, which was their traditions, because we got the beat was the opening song. So like the joke was kind of like, look how shoehorned this is, we don't care, it's fun. But by that nature, I thought it was good in that way. But jukebox shows they're hit and miss, and I feel like we're never getting rid of them, because every once in a while, it's like there's 10 of them in a row that are bad, and then one knocks it out of the park, either artistically or financially or both. And then it's like, well, we're going to get a slew of these again.
Yeah, Rachel Bloom was working on a jukebox musical, which I don't know if they're going to finish it now, but I would watch that.
Rachel Bloom. Oh, from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was a jukebox musical of any artist I would know, or just songs she had written, or?
It was like a pretty big thing. I don't remember what band it was, but it was like something, I don't know, maybe I'm confusing it with her, like the nanny thing she was going to do.
As in Fran Drescher's The Nanny thing?
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess that could work as a musical. It was very theatrical.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to that, because I think she was collaborating on it with Adam Schlesinger, who passed away last year.
Yeah. The jukebox musical that I don't know if it's ever going to be made, but I know it was in previews in like the Philippines or something, was Air Supply got a musical called All Out of Love. And we read the plot synopsis on the podcast, and it was... Oh, it was something. It sure was something.
That's great. What? Yeah, I'll have to listen to that or look that up. I mean, there's some fun. Have you heard like Bubbling Brown Sugar?
No, what's that?
It's like a 1990s or like maybe late 80s jukebox musical about like Harlem Renaissance songs.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And the plot framing device was that they were going to like go on a time travel, like it was like present day, like people don't appreciate Harlem enough, so they were going to go time travel to look at all of the great moments Harlem had.
What's a show that we haven't covered yet that you're like dying to share with me? I'm always looking for new stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you've covered Working yet, right?
No, what's Working?
It's like a 1970s musical, the premise of which was like they based it on like a book that interviewed different people about like what kind of work they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got like a team of people to like each write a couple of songs about like one of the careers. Like James Taylor wrote a couple of songs for it.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's like fun. And they also like they've been up when they mount a revival, they've been updating it a little bit and getting new people to write songs for it. So like they did a version in the 90s that had like a song or two written for it. And then in like the 2010s, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote like I think two songs for it.
And what you said it's basically like job shadowing the musical, like look at these different jobs.
Basically, it's kind of like every scene follows like one person or like people that do one job. But yeah, like I think one of the songs Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote for it, like the more recent one was about like a home healthcare aide just singing about his, you know, elderly person when they had their own struggles to like, and he also wrote a song about like a young Hispanic kid working at a bodega
called In the Heights.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they're fun. And I think that one was replacing an older song like from the 70s, one that was about a newspaper boy. Sorry, what were you?
I was gonna ask, so you had this background in enjoying theater but not having done it, and you're also a stand-up comic. Would you say that that being a kind of like introduced to theater young like made you interested in that? Like, tell me, what's your comedy origin?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't say I got into stand-up because of musical theater. Okay. Probably more like you know, I also like grew up on like Woody Allen and you know, Emo Phillips and stuff like you know, my dad played a lot of comedy albums in the car. But I have been trying to do some like musical theater parody like songs.
Okay.
And I'm singing them myself, even though I'm like pretty bad at singing. But
so what's that writing process like? Are you just taking a song and writing over the lyrics? Like what's the bit?
Yeah, I guess I'm like trying to do like maybe Tom Lehrer-esque stuff, like yeah, taking a song and making it, rewriting it about like a different subject.
Okay, what's like the one you're working on right now? Like tell me about some of these. Unless they're a secret and you're gonna like put them out as an album, then you don't have to. But I was just curious.
Oh no, it's fine. Yeah, I guess like the next one I'm going to do is the song Barbie Girl.
Yes, I do.
I wrote a version of it about a plastic bag that's just like about how plastic bags never decompose.
They sure don't. Yeah, I think that song is also going to be relevant because there is a Barbie movie coming starring Margot Robbie.
Is there really?
There really is. And honestly, you could put Margot Robbie in anything and I'll at least take a peek because she's so good. Like,
nice. I wonder, yeah, there's so many Barbie movies that already exist that are just like really terrible.
Yeah, the old in my day it was straight to VHS. Now those don't exist anymore, but.
Yeah, I guess it's like straight to streaming now.
Yeah. Yeah. Barbie goes to the moon. You're like, how did she get through the space program? Okay, we'll figure it out later, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on the classic Barbie song, Working Out Barbie.
Yeah, it was probably from the musical Working. No, I'm not familiar with this song. Was it written by anyone I would know, or is it just who cares?
It's probably written by some anonymous team at Mattel. There's a Barbie that in the 90s that came with a cassette tape. And okay. The cassette tape had a single song on it. About how Barbie likes to work out.
I like to imagine that the poor man who wrote that is just like, well, I'm paying my dues. Someday they'll let me write Sophie's Choice, the musical. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah. I know. I would love to see the people that write, that ghostwrite stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, what's their life like?
Yeah. I don't know if you, I mean, you probably didn't read, the Sweet Valley High books.
No.
But those were, totally ghostwritten. And I, read, do you know, the Animorphs series?
That I do know, yes. Tobias went full
hog. So, I was reading an interview with, that was written by created by Kay Applegate and her husband. Mm-hmm. And they themselves had been ghostwriters on the Sweet Valley High series. And they were just talking about how crappy of a job that was.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, just having to, write it, really mindless, repetitive, crap.
Yeah, it's like whenever I watch a movie from the 70s about writers, they're like, oh, I've got a movie novelization to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, whatever. Did you know that Francine Pascal, who created Sweet Valley High's brother, wrote the book to Bye Bye Birdie?
I did not. And Hello Dolly. Huh. Okay. I have not heard Hello Dolly. I know the song from it, but and Bye Bye Birdie, I saw the movie when I was in grade school. But so, family of writers with very different career paths.
Yep.
So we're at about time. What you got to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rebecca T. Kaplan, and check out my musical parody sketches, I guess.
Yes. Well, follow Rebecca and follow us at Broadway Baby Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Leave a nice review and 5 stars in your podcatcher app. It really helps the numbers. And we'll see you next time on Broadway Baby.